Let's look in Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. I'm gonna try to preach to you today a Mother's Day message I preach. And Ben, you were right, it was Herodias. I had a brain freeze last night. You and I were talking. I'm going to try to preach to you on a godly mother. I titled it, The Mother God Chose. The Mother God Chose. You think about little Mary and you wonder why in the world the Lord chose her. Really, the impression I get as I read about her and her life, that really she was a little, and please I say this with all reverence, she was just a nobody like me, or like you all, like anybody else. But the Lord chose her to be the mother of his son. And I want to just look at her for a little bit. I'm a little hesitant to exalt her too highly, because the Catholics say she can save you, and that's not so. It's just not so. She can't save no more than I can save. There's only one who can save, and that's Jesus. And I'm not throwing off on them. They're good people caught up in that, but it's just doctrinal error. It's just not right. And so you have to be careful, I guess, and surely none of you all think that. I'd like to think you didn't. But I want to just read the account, and then I want to just share a few little truths about Mary that I think might be a help. The Bible says in verse 26, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing. Now sometimes we talk about way things are said in the Bible. The Holy Spirit's called an it in one place, and we get all worked up about it. Jesus right here is called a holy thing. But he is a person. He is a person. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born to thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now, I'll tell you what y'all do if you mark in your Bibles. Y'all put a little square around that verse, because you'll need that somewhere in life's way. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now I know there's that bunch out there, well, he can't lie, he can't sin. I know that. That's not what the verse is trying to say. Within his character, there's nothing that he can't do. He's almighty. He's sovereign. He's all-powerful. That's what's trying to be said. Verse 38, And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I think that's when she became a mother. Verse 38, when she yielded, when she submitted. Verse 39, And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of the womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now Elizabeth called her a mother at that point. Before she ever birthed Jesus, Elizabeth called her the mother of my Lord. That all, I don't know what the abortionists do with that. I don't know. I don't know what they do with it. You can't be a mother unless you have children. And so she was a mother at that point. That's what I'm trying my point. Verse 44, For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which was told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has shewed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed, forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And I want to stop my reading right there this morning. We could read on, and there's so much that we could say about Mary. We could talk about her virginity and her purity. We could spend much time on that. Verse 30, we could talk about her fear of God and what a great somebody she was. And we might could even talk about her humility in verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. But I just want to pick out a few little things that the Holy Ghost, I think, put on me to share with you. And I want to say this before I get started this morning. And listen to me, mothers. There's no greater calling than motherhood. No greater calling than godly motherhood. You would have to step down to take the CEO of a top 10 company. You'd have to step down, as far as I'm concerned. There's no greater calling. As far as I'm concerned, there's no godlier person than a godly mother. That's right. There's no greater love on earth than a mother's love. No greater love. It's as close, Brother Ronnie, you said this to me some time back. Probably the closest thing to our Lord's love on planet earth is a mother's love. I believe that. Yeah. May very well be the case. No godlier work than a godly mother raising the next generation for the glory of God. Yeah. No godlier work. I take the greatest evangelists, the greatest preachers, the greatest missionaries. I'm telling you, I do not believe There is a godlier work than a godly mother raising godly children for the glory of God. Now, that's how I believe it. God, mothers, let me just say this. If you fail, and you fail to raise godly children, this country's gone. Lost souls will spend eternity based on your motherhood. That's right. You can just write that. I'm not trying to put a heavy load on you. It's just how serious I think it really is. And so I want to just talk to you about a few things about motherhood this morning. Why was it no one born on planet Earth had the privilege to choose their birth mother but one person? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only one that got to choose who birthed them onto planet Earth. And so Mary was chosen. And it hits me odd. I could look through the Bible and maybe find women who were more exalted, what I would think, exalted in the Scriptures. I maybe was talked about more. I don't know that I could, but I'm thinking of some that I think I didn't count the verses or add all any of that up, but it seems there is almost a element of mystery about Mary to some degree. But our Lord chose Mary. Our Savior chose who His mother would be, and He chose Mary. And I asked myself, why Mary? What was it about Mary? Surely there was something. Surely the Father, if He's going to trust His Son with Mary, saw some things in Mary that was special. I mean, He saw some things that He said, hey, she would make a good mother for my son. And Mom, I just want to leave a few of those with you this evening or this morning. I want you to notice verse 40. I'm going to jump around a little bit this evening. Verse 45, here's what Elizabeth said about Mary, and blessed is she, that simple little truth. Blessed is she that believed. Blessed is she that believed. She was a believer. Here's what the angel came and said to her. He said, and verse 28, and the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And then he comes down and says in verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. And here this little common girl, he keeps talking to her and he says this about her son. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said, well, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel goes on and says some of the most unbelievable things. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, can I say this? Never. And Mary was old enough to understand the facts. Never had a child been born without the aid of a man coming together with a woman. Never. I mean, to say that one could birth a child without being with a man, a woman could birth a child without being with a man, that was an impossibility. I mean, it just could not be. Anybody in their right mind would not believe that. But it is the Word of God, don't you see? And old Mary, no doubt she thought, how can that be? That's an impossibility. How can my son be king? I'm a common, ordinary, everyday woman. How can it be? And no doubt the devil said, he's lying to you. But can I tell you what Mary did? She just believed the Word of God. And oh, my mother, if you're going to be the godly mother you ought to be, you're going to have to just believe the Word of God. It's that simple. You're going to have to believe God's Word. You say, preacher, that's a very simple little truth. I've known that. I'm afraid there's a lot of mothers that doesn't believe the Word of God. Now, let me share a few little truths with you, and tell me, Mom, if you believe this. I'm going to go to Proverbs, and I'm going to look in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 24. And the Bible says this: he that spareth his rod hateth his son. I want to tell you, Moms, what I think. There's a lot of mothers. This Mother's Day, and I'm supposed to be bragging and be kind, but I'm going to preach what God gave me this morning. There's a lot of mothers that don't love their children right. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because they won't discipline them like they ought to. That's right. The Bible. Do you believe the Bible, Mom? Let me ask you, do you believe what the Word of God says? Are you like Mary? Are you a Bible believer? Or do you pick and choose what you want to believe? You say, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right to me. But the Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. I know it's speaking in the masculine gender, but I'm saying, if you're a keeper of the house, there's times you have to discipline your children. And if you love them, you'll do what's right for them and not take the easy way out. That's right. Well, I love them too much to whip them. Well, the devil's fed you a lie and you don't believe the Word of God this morning. That's right. The Bible makes it very plain. You love your children, you'll discipline them. That's not time out, by the way. I don't know, I'm getting locked in this morning some way or another. That's not time out. That's discipline, physical discipline to the children. That's what works. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about beating. I'm talking about godly discipline as defined by the Word of God. Amen. Don't tell me you believe the Word of God, Mother. And don't tell me you love your children and you do not discipline them. You don't believe the Word of God. Let me read it to you again. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. That's the Bible. I get so tired of this. Now you stop that. Johnny, you stop that. Johnny, I told you to stop that. And then the third time, Johnny, stop that. And then by the fourth time, they're so embarrassed, they just ignore it and act like nothing's going on. Now, moms, that's not biblical. Just not biblical. Here's what the Bible says. If you love your children, you're going to discipline them when they need it. And Mary was a believer. I want to ask you, Mom, are you a believer this morning? Let me read just a couple more to you. You know why children's in the shape they're in? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And the Bible gives us one remedy to get foolishness out of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You know why we have a lot of foolish kids, young people running around today? They have not been chastened and disciplined as they ought to have been. Mom, we're counting on you. You're the keeper at the home. But most of you all are stay-at-home moms. You lined up by Titus 2:15. Is that the verse? Titus 2, I believe it is, somewhere. Maybe verse 5, verse 15. You're a keeper at home. And that puts you in the place that you have to discipline at times. And I know some of you, it's distasteful. Fact of the matter, if you do it right, it will be distasteful to you. You don't whip a child because you're frustrated. That relieves your frustrations. You discipline a child for the sake of teaching him self-discipline. When you discipline him, the next time he wants to do what he ought not do, and he knows he ought to do what he ought to do, he remembers that discipline in the past. I got a whipping. I got a spanking for what I did last time. Now I'm not going to do that wrong, but I'm going to do right, because if I don't, that'll happen to me again. That's called discipline. You're building self-discipline in those children's lives. And it has to be if they're going to grow up and be the adults they ought to be. I hope y'all following what I'm saying. You don't just grab a kid up and wear them out just to feel good about it. That's ungodly. That's ungodly to do that. But you discipline them because you love them. You want to teach them to make right decisions and to have self-discipline in their life to do what's right. Now, Mother, I want to ask you this. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe, Mom, listen at me. Do you believe foolishness is bound in the heart of a child? Oh, my little Johnny, he's the smartest. He's this. I don't care how smart little Johnny is, or little Sally or Susie, whatever it is. I don't care how smart they are. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You believe that? What the Bible says? Mary was a believer. I believe that's why God used her. And if God's going to use you, Mom, you're going to have to be a believer. And the Bible says your child has foolishness bound on the inside, and the only thing to get that foolishness out of its life is correction. You're going to have to believe the Word of God. Mom, God will use you in a great way, but you're going to have to be like Mary. You're going to have to be a believer. Well, I think if I discipline my kids, they'll hate me. Can I tell you, it'd be just the opposite. You ever seen a child get a spanking, and it won't be 5 minutes to be up there hugged up against his mom or daddy? Y'all act like you've never seen that. You've seen that, haven't you? Sure you have. You know why? You know what that means to that child? Mom and dad cares. That's what that says. Mom and dad cares enough to try to make me do right in my life. Children smart, they understand that. They're not that foolish. Mom, here's what I want to ask you. Do you believe the Word of God? What I'm doing this morning is elementary. But here's what I see by many church-going mothers' own actions. They do not believe what the Word of God says. I see children that have no discipline. I don't understand that. You've got a little fella. How old is Kellen? 2 years old, sits on the pew quiet as a mouse. You think that just happened? You think he's just one of those special kids that's just quiet all the time? You're grinning, aren't you, Dre? You know what he's done? He's disciplined his children to get him to behave. He's got foolishness out of him. He behaves better than a lot of folks' children that's much older. You say, well, I'm not throwing off. I'm just trying to get my point across. Do you believe what the Word of God says, Mom? Do you believe that? My, we could go on. All of you know Proverbs 20, is it 22 and 6? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I mean, really, Mom, do you care enough to train your children up in the way they should go? By the way, training is more than just instructions. That's right. It goes a lot farther than just giving some orders out and instructions. Training is showing how to do something. I used to work in a hosier mill years ago, and they had what they called a training room, and they would instruct them, but when they did, after they instructed them, they would sit them down and let them put those instructions to work, and they would start trying to sew a garment, and they would be an instructor. That's what they called. And that instructor stood over their shoulder watching them to make sure that the instructions they received was carried out the way they needed to be. What were they doing? They were instructing those sewing machine operators. They were training, rather, those sewing machine operators first by instruction, then with oversight, hands-on, and then after a while they would leave them to themselves. They would leave them to themselves and follow up on them and make sure they did what they were supposed to do. That's training. It's much more than instruction, Mom. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying to you, Mother. This thing of raising children, you can take the easy way out, but that's not the godly way. That's right. What I'm talking about, I could just keep on. I could talk about rebellion in your children. The Bible says rebellion is as witchcraft. That's what it says. I've seen some of the most rebellious acting teenagers I've ever seen who came to church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. By the way, here's what a rebel will try to do, Mom and Dad. They'll try to live right on the line of right and wrong, right on the edge. They'll try to live as close to a rebellious life as you'll let them live. My mom and dad just wants to turn the other, and really it's the mother more than it is the dad, because he's off working and she's there of a day. Here's what I'm saying, Mother. I've got to go on. I'll get my. She believed the Word of God. Mom, if you're going to be a godly mother, you're going to have to believe the Word of God. And you're going to have to believe it enough not to be a hearer, but a hearer and a doer. And really, I've just touched. I'm going to do some parenting preaching here one of these days before too long. It's really burdening my heart. Really burdening my heart. A lot. If I'm not careful, I'll start doing that now. So she believed God's Word. She believed God's Word. And Mom, can I say, if you're going to be godly, you say it don't seem right. It don't sound right. Doesn't matter how it seems. Doesn't matter how it sounds. God's Word's right. It didn't sound right to Mary to think she could birth a son. He's going to be the king and have a throne over Israel forever. And she's going to have a son without knowing a man. That didn't sound right. That didn't add up. That didn't make sense. But it was God's Word, and she believed it, and God honored her belief. And He will yours. Well, we see she believed the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, and I guess maybe I've already preached this point, but let me just throw this at you. Not only did she believe, but she submitted to God's will. and God's word for life. Notice what it says. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now here's what Mary knew. If she's going to have a son without knowing a man, there was going to be a lot of accusations thrown her way. You and I both know that. Don't you know there were a lot of talking going on amongst Mary's family and Mary's friends? A lot of things, no doubt, being said. She had to know this. She's a spouse to Joseph. She had to know her marriage would be in jeopardy. Her marriage was going to be in jeopardy to Joseph. I mean, here she is. And my, she goes God's way. It's going to bring some hardship in her life. It's not going to be the easy way. It's not going to be the soft way, you see. My, if she does that, maybe her whole life will be changed. Her whole future will be altered. When she's an old woman, they'll be talking about what she did. They'll be throwing off on her son, Jesus, and calling him names and all those things that goes with an illegitimate birth. My, she had to think about that. She was no fool. She knew the social issues that were involved. But can I tell you what she said? She didn't say, "No, I don't want any part of that. No way am I going to do that. No way can I handle that." But I want you to notice what she said. "Be it unto me according to thy word." Here's what she's saying in our language. Whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want out of my life, however you want to do it, I'm willing. You know best. Whatever you want, I'm willing to do. Mom, that's where you're going to have to get to. You're going to have to come to that. My, we live in this day of professionalism, and really to live like the world lives, you have to have two incomes, or you have to have one exceptionally high income, which really doesn't happen very often. To live like that takes two incomes. My, to be the godly mother you ought to be, you have to put your children ahead of yourself. It's not you, but it's them. What I'm trying to get you to see, this thing of godly motherhood, it's not all that beneficial for you. Puts more work on you, makes you more obscure, makes you more unknown. Your goals, your ambitions, your want-tos get pushed behind on the back burner while your children, your husband are exalted ahead of you. But can I say this? That's God's way. That's God's way. God set it up that way. I didn't. And here's how it is. You can do it any way you want to, Mom. God's not going to force you to do it a godly way. Do it any way you want to do it. You can carry out your motherhood as worldly as you want to, or as godly as you want to. But here's what Mary said. Here's what Mary said in this verse. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me according to thy word. And then I think that submission, that's all we're talking about is submission again. Submission to God. You can't preach a text. You can't take a page out of the Bible and preach it and not find godly submission if you look close enough. I mean, it's just there. The Christian life is a submission life. That's what it's all about, folks. Are you submitted? Mom, I want to ask you, are you submitted to the Word of God? Oh, you say, "I know it, I've heard it, I believe it." I want to take you a step further. Are you submitted to the will and the Word of God for your life? I'm just asking this morning. I think that's why Mary was used. She was willing. Let me give you a couple of more. She was submitted. My, she was a believer and she was submitted. But then I want you to notice this. And it always used to bother me why she went down to Elizabeth's house And then the minute she had the baby and would need help, she left. I mean, I used to couldn't understand that. I couldn't get that figured out. I was thinking she ought to stay and helped her with her baby. And Elizabeth, you know the story. She's 6 months ahead of Mary as far as the pregnancy goes. But here's Mary. The minute she finds out, she runs down to Elizabeth. What's that all about? I mean, is there any significance there? And here's what I'm convinced. I'm convinced Mary sought counsel from Elizabeth. I'm convinced she was there. Elizabeth. Now, who was Elizabeth? First of all, she was well stricken in years. She was an older woman. The Bible teaches us this. She had been barren. She was an older woman. Can I say what else she was? She was a preacher's wife. She's a godly woman. You know that. When Mary showed up, the baby leaped in her womb. And you know what Elizabeth said? She's an older woman. She's a godly woman. She was kin to Mary. You say, what was Mary doing? It's pretty obvious to me. She's seeking counsel from a godly, elderly woman. She was asking her about things and trying to get all the knowledge she could about motherhood, don't you see? And here's what I want to say to you. Mom, we're living in this proud age. I see young mothers, they will not ask an older mother for advice. They will not seek counsel so many times. They think they know more. They'd rather listen to what the education system says and what a godly mother has to say about it. They'd rather read a book by some lost man or woman than talk to a godly mother about motherhood. Listen to me, young wives, young mothers. If you want to know about motherhood, talk to some of these godly mothers. Been down the road. They know what they're talking about. You're not the expert. Mary wasn't so proud she thought she knew everything. She humbled herself down. She sought counsel. She'd went ahead of Mary. She'd already been through 6 months, the whole pregnancy by the time Mary left. She'd already been through it. She could tell Mary so much. And Mary was interested in help. Mother, let me just tell you, you need to seek help from other mothers. There's a lot about motherhood I can't tell you, but these old mothers can tell you. They've been there. They've been down the road. They've had their heart tore out. They've had the struggles and the fights. Mom, can I just tell you, can I just tell you, mother, son, seek godly counsel from them old mothers. They'll help you. I believe the Lord used Mary because he knew she wasn't too proud to receive help. So many today, they're so proud. They think they have it all figured out. They've read the books. They've heard the experts. I'll tell you who the experts are. It's those old women. Birth them children down through the years. It's got that life experience under the belt. They ain't help you along the way. Here's Mary. Not only was she a believer, not only did she submit to the will of God, but she sought godly counsel in her motherhood. And then I want to say, I'll just give you one more. I know I've preached long this morning. I've got all kinds of things I could say here. She was intimate with her Lord. I don't know if you've ever... Here's a young handmaiden, and I want you to notice what she says. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Now, a lot of people want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. He is the Lord. He's the master. If I say it this way, he's the boss. We're the servants. We're in submission to him. He's the Lord. Mary knew the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. I don't know what the Catholics do with that. She needed a Savior. Here's Mary, who they say is a Savior, but here's Mary saying, I need a Savior. He is my Savior. I don't know what they do with that. my Savior. Notice what else she says. Verse 49, for he is mighty, for he that is mighty hath done great things, and he's holy. Holy is his name. She said he's holy. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying Mary knew something about the Savior. She had some kind of relationship. She knew some things about him. Notice verse 51. You could probably preach on that little song, that little praise, whatever you want to call it. Mary gave her. He had showed strength with his arm. She knew he could bear his arm and do what he wanted to do. He had scattered the proud and the imagination of their hearts. He knew he was opposed to the proud, but exalteth the humble. Mary knew that. How'd she know that? She just knew her Lord. She knew who he was. Maybe she'd had godly teaching. I don't know about her youth. Nothing said about it. But I know this. Mary knew about the Lord. My, she's got all kinds of things she's saying here. He hath filled the, verse 53, she's filled the, he hath filled the hungry with good things, the rich sent empty away. He hath opened or helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. She knew about his mercy. She knew about his helping hand. She knew about, verse 55, his promises to Abraham and to his seed. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Mary had spiritual truth. She knew truth about the Lord. And mom, if you're going to be used by God, you must as well. You must know truth. You can't be ignorant on these things. You have to know that. How are you going to teach your children if you don't know anything to teach them? Moms, I know what I'm preaching. You may think I'm being harsh on you or being hard, but you've got a most difficult and a great work to do. You've got a great work. You need to know what the Word of God says. Well, I don't need to know. I'm just a mom. You need to know because you are just a mom. You need to know. What have you taught your children, mother? When have you sat down and said, children, you need to get this in your mind and in your heart. Here's what thus saith the Word of God. Never forget it. When have you done that, Mom? I'm afraid maybe because we don't know. We don't know. And let me just preach a little to the fathers. Maybe it's because you've not brought them along. Dad, maybe you just run off and left them in the dust, spiritually speaking. Shame on you if you have. Shame on you. Mom, if you're gonna be a godly mother, you're going to have to spend time in the Word of God. I don't know how else to say it. You say this. You can give me all kind of reasons why you can't teach your children. Why you can't grasp truth. Give me all kind of reasons, but if you're going to be a godly mother, you're going to have some truth to pass on to your children. Mary had some knowledge. You read what all she knew. My, if I just sat there and started expounding on each one of those, we would be here all night. We'd be here all night. Mary knew. I know I'm preaching long. Mom, here's the fact of it. I could tell you a lot. Let me just give you these and I'll close. I've wore you out. You see, Mary was in unity with her husband. Whatever he said, she went along with. Read chapter 2. She went along with him. I'll tell you what will make a bad mother, as quick as anything, rebelling against the instructions of the head of the household. Amen. You can't be a good mother unless you're a good wife. Amen. Your husband is to be the head of the house. I know some of you, your personality's more aggressive than your husband's. You're more vocal. You're more forceful. But the fact of the matter is, God set it up for the husband to be the head of the home and the wife to submit to his headship. And when you rebel against that, you're in rebellion. And it's no different than you practicing witchcraft in your life. She was in unity with Joseph. Then I'm going to give you this one. She made the best of her situation. She had to birth her son in a stable. And she didn't put him in the baby bed, but she put him in a manger. And she didn't dress him in a little, whatever you dress them little, I wanted to say a onesie, that ain't right, little whatever you put on a little newborn. She didn't dress him in that. She just wrapped him swaddling clothes. And that was a custom, from what I read. But here's the point I want to make. She didn't gripe and complain because every I and every T of her life was dotted and crossed. Joseph, if that's anything to me, you'd have had me a house. If that's anything to you, you wouldn't have expected me to come down here with you to be taxed. She wasn't like that at all. She just lined up with her husband, made the best she could out of the situation. Jesus was born. She wasn't griping. She wasn't complaining. She just took where she was at and made the best out of it. Godly mom, that's what you're going to have to do. I see mothers not satisfied with anything. Not satisfied with one. They can get a new house and it ain't 6 months. They want something else. Swimming pool. Get a swimming pool. It's not 6 months. They want something else and something else and something else. Why don't you just be satisfied and contented? Line up with your husband. Do the best you can. That's the kind of mother the Lord uses. And then lastly, where did she take him to? After he's born, after the days of her purification, can I tell you where she took him to? She took him to the house of God. She dedicated him to the Lord, Brother Harrison. I don't know why we don't do it, but we don't dedicate our children to the Lord around here, not formally anyway. We used to. So I guess we just got ashamed or embarrassed or something. But here's what she did. She took him up to the Lord. He's the first male. Of course, you know that belonged to the Lord. By the way, Mom, all your children belong to the Lord. Amen. They're His. Someday, one day, there come a time in Mary's life she had to turn loose what God had given her. A lot of mothers can't turn loose of their children. I don't know where that come from, but that'll help you. Here's Mary, first thing she did. You know what my mom told me the other day? She said, son, the first place you went after you was born, guess, church. She said, I kept you at the house for I forgot how many days, 8 or 10 days. The first place you went, son, after you was born, the house of God. That's the kind of mother I had. First place I went is the church. Mom, keep your kids in the church. Amen. Keep them around God's people, under the preaching of the Word of God. Godly teachers is trying to instill truth in their hearts and lives. God will honor that. Here's Mary. She believed God's word. She submitted to His word. She humbled herself down, was willing to receive godly counsel. She knew truth. She knew truth. Somewhere, I don't know where and I don't know how, but she had locked truth down in her heart. She made the best of her situation without griping and complaining. Then she took her little child down to the house of God. That's a pretty good pattern for a godly mother, don't y'all think? That's a godly mother. Mom, let me encourage you. We need you to be godly. We need another generation of godly people, godly children coming up that's going to love God, that's going to put Him first in their life, that's going to serve Him supremely. We need that. We have to have it. And Mom, it's resting on you. I don't know how to convey that load to you, but it's on you. Bring them out here and let me preach to them twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday. It's not enough. It's not enough. Mom, it's on you. Dad's going to be out working and you're going to be home with the children. It's on you to do what you need to do. Let's bow our heads this morning. You, the mother God can use. That's all I'm asking. I don't know. I just tried to preach to you what God give me. We need you, Mom. We need you. Oh, God, I ask you this morning, speak to these mothers. Some way impress upon their heart how critical and how important their job, their role, their part is in your work. Help us, Lord. Help our little families. Oh, God, protect our little families from the devil, from his attacks. Help us now. We'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name.